This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. All right, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, right around 22. We had anticipated going back into the book of Psalms, and then Linda and I were up in North Carolina for the two Wednesdays. The Wednesday that followed that, we had the hurricane, and then we didn't have a service. So it's been a while. And so I'm going to try to bring us up to speed where we are and where we're going. So as you know, chapters 22, 23, 24 are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's I don't care what any of the scholars say, this is all about Him. Chapter 22 is His past work. It's all about the cross. All right. Chapter 24, I'm skipping. Chapter 24 is all about the kingdom. And when the Lord returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we come to chapter 23. It is more His present work and His care for the sheep. It's His priestly character and priestly chapter. So we're going to look at Psalm 23. When we did have the opportunity to go into this, back to Sweet Spirit power and wisdom and power, I neglected to do that. That's when John was going through the situation with Joanna, and I don't like the context so much of. Chapter 23, in its normal setting, which I don't think it should be, and that is funerals. It has nothing to do with funerals. I mean, you can apply some things, but it has to do with life and the life in the Christian life. You are probably seeing, if you have anything to do with reading and newspapers and magazines or listening on the radio, there's a number of people who profess to be saved for a very long time and then renounce that they were never saved in the first place. The guy that wrote the book on dating, well-known book, very popular, and he doubted he ever believed. There's somebody associated with Moody Bible, same thing. There's a musician, same thing. And then we had the suicide of a megachurch pastor this week, I think in California. My take on all of that is, well, mostly the suicide issue. But professing Christianity has long ago sold out our capability to counsel. And so in selling out, we gave it up to psychology. All right, psychology as a belief system doesn't believe that anybody is accountable to God because they don't believe that He created them. So therefore, you have no accountability. And so a lot of things have worked their way in, and now a lot of laws are passed, and it makes it very difficult to speak with people in truth. But I'm thinking of the suicide this week. If that was a saved man, I almost guarantee that he did not know that Psalm 23 was not real in his life. I'm sorry, it just wasn't. I mean, you can tip over the edge, I know that. But if this is before you, and it's a part of your upbringing in Christ, then you don't go there. You already know the answers, but you go through whatever is taking place. So this is called the Shepherd's Psalm. I'm just going to read from John chapter 10, verse 7. The Lord says, I am the door of the sheep. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Right? Psalm 23 is usually known as the most beloved of all the Psalms. At one point, it was the most memorized of anything in Scripture. You say, well, more than John 3:16, more than John 3:16. And there obviously is a reason for that. People of before our generation, mine, yours, Christian people, and maybe even back two or three, this was very real to them. He was exactly everything that the psalm talks about on a daily basis. It wasn't just a psalm that you knew by heart, but it was personal. And so I find I'm going to give you three divisions with three applications and maybe about 10 statements within the psalm. So we're going to start in verses 1 and 2. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. All right, the first thing here is we see the shepherd and his sheep. All right, now, as far as the statement goes, we see that there is a divine shepherd. All right, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the Old Testament name for Jesus in the New Testament. So, I mean, when we're looking at this, I don't know how you can have the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd if he's not God. It just doesn't make any sense. We have a divine rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we have a divine leadership. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Into paths of peace and joy and righteousness. And so the first division then is provision. Very important, provision. And let's do this. I can't do it totally, but I can do it somewhat. You can do it sitting there or listening. Make this personal, because this is between you and him. All right, we can make a collective, but really it should be you and him. My spiritual state made him poor. And now the riches of his grace makes me, who is now saved, rich. Now talk about financially rich, I'm talking about spiritually rich. And never again need I want for anything. Never. Never. I mean, once you... It's like when you've got a grip on something in Scripture and you believe it and you've lived it and you've seen the validity in it, there's no argument that I need something beyond what I already have. That I don't really have it all. And I need something from somewhere else. No, you don't. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, was David an educated man? He was a shepherd, son of a farmer and probably a shepherd as well. And yet, spiritually, this is some of the richest material in all the Word of God. You don't find spiritual riches in public institutions. You just don't find it there. It's an incredible statement. The Lord is my shepherd. If he's my shepherd, who else can be my shepherd? Nobody. The very best that I could ever be as a part of your church is an under shepherd. The very best. But I'm not the shepherd. And yet you can go to churches and they believe they're the shepherds. They're not. the under shepherds. The Lord is my shepherd. I often get weary. Not often, but more than I want. But He is always strong. He didn't become weary with me. He's strong all the time. And His strength through me makes me strong. Hold your place here. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians. One of these paradoxes of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 9. And He, the Lord, said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're weak, that's the best time for the Lord to be strong in your behalf. You may come across as strong, but you know in your heart, there's nothing in me that can do this. And yet the Lord does it through you. Too often we come thinking we can do this. I would rather think, I don't know if I can do this. I really need you to help me do this. You think after all these years that I have this down. No, I don't have this down. I don't want to have it down. If I have anything down, it is my strength is made perfect in weakness. My weakness, His strength, yet if He works through me and it looks like I'm strong, but I'm not. The places that the situations of life for me sometimes are noisy, chaotic, unstable, rough, but His places are soft and quiet. Why do I allow myself to respond to the noise and the chaos? Because I don't understand. I'm not applying that He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, what I've done is I've taken that and put it to the side and say, well, I can't apply that to me. Yes, why not? If I can't apply that to me, then everything that comes my way makes me a victim of circumstances. And you and I are not victims, for sure. There's circumstances, yes, I know. I literally dwell in, spiritually, pastures of tender grass. Florida doesn't grow grass. If you've lived in Florida, this is not grass. This is weeds. St. Augustine and Bahia, that's weeds. And you can't grow grass. You can, but it dies right out. It can't stand it. The climate. But if you've ever been in fields of lush grass, it was really cool to lay down in. And you can picture this, and I'm sure that that's the picture He had. And besides waters of quietness, it's nice. If you've ever gone out down on US 1 and gone by the river on a calm day, you can see across. It's like a sea of glass. Imagine if the sea of glass was a part of your makeup. He wants it to be. It shouldn't be like war, war at sea, victory at sea, and all tumultuous. There's a calmness here. He says, you're trying to deal with emotions here. This is emotional. David was a hunted man. David ran for his life, had to leave. Saul was after him constantly. And yet here he sits down and he writes this psalm. And it's all about in these times of distress, in these times of calamity, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And He's going to put me in places of peace if I will just let Him. And so we've got another person involved here, don't we? We have the Holy Spirit involved. And so the Holy Spirit should be involved in this as well. And he refreshes my soul constantly. You remember reading in Lamentations about God's faithfulness and his mercies are new each morning. Well, I used to go down years ago when we first moved here down to the river, and I would take pictures of sunrises. And every one of them were different. There wasn't two that were the same. And so, you know, I liken them to the sunrises. And his mercy should be just like that. Every day you wake up, there's a new batch of mercy ready for you. If you'll just allow him to work that way with you. And never, when we think about this, don't ever forget the sheep or the flock. Don't keep the shepherd. The shepherd keeps the flock. It's very important that we understand that. So when we do that, look away from self and trust him to keep us and to lead us and to feed us. We have to do it. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but there's a reason for that, and that this doesn't have the place in our lives that it should. I mean, it's not a cure-all. Okay, secondly, we move. I know you can put the Lord in every verse, but for the sake of dividing this up, we have in verses 3 and 4 the guide and the traveler. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. All right, as far as the statement, there is a divine restoration. He restoreth my soul. Secondly, there is a divine presence, for thou art with me. We know that from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if thou art with me, why should I fear any evil? I'm protected. I'm comforted. I'm sustained. And so the second division has to do with direction. The guide and the traveler. We should be going forward in the Christian life. And sometimes in going forward, the way is dangerous. It can be bleak. It can be in a fog where we don't know what we're doing necessarily, but we try not to lose our track. It should be fixed. And in that track, he guides us. Not for our comfort, but for the honor of his name. If you go here in Psalm 119, we get into this, transfers into the importance of the word. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is there any way that you in the dark and the dangerous places can go with the word that he doesn't show you the way? I don't think so. Look at 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. You don't have to be educated except spiritually. And you have to trust. The entrance of thy word giveth light. All right? In the Christian life, when I entered into the Christian life, I did not know anything about the way. I mean, I knew I was saved, but I didn't know anything about the Christian life. But the Lord does, because he's already been there. He's already gone through the things. He's gone before us. There are times that are just fraught with danger. But seeing his rod brings assurance. The Lord can take care of this. He may not when we want it, but we know it brings assurance. There are times of great weariness, and what does his staff do? It comforts us. He doesn't throw the staff down and say, well, you know, it's 5 o'clock. I'm done for the day. staff's always there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's a reason that we trust him. Because he is able, he is capable, and we, in the very best we can be, are not so. I mean, are you content with where you are spiritually? That there's no place I can go farther and get closer to the Lord? I would hope not, because I've got a long way to go. All right, here's the third thing. We have the host and the guests, verse 5 and verse 6. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, four more statements. There's a divine anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil. A divine overflow. My cup runneth over. To make more than 100%, if you can believe that. There is a divine assurance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And a divine habitation. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so the third division, therefore, is communion. Fellowship. The journey is ended in 5 and 6. The mansions that the Lord went to prepare for us are ready. And it's still, if you're doing this, I hope you're doing this, it's still him and me. It's still the two of us. And that's how you should look at this. It's still, in the end of human life, and the beginning of eternity, it's still him and me. Although there's friends, and there's other friends of like mind that are saved, that are all over, but it's still him and me. When you get before the Lord, 1 John chapter 3, What is the focus in 1 John chapter 3? It talks about now are we the sons of God and so forth. And then when he shall appear, we shall see all our friends face to face. No, we shall see him face to face, and we'll be like him because we're going to see him as he is. Him and me. All the time. And very important. And so on the guest, he's the host. There's a table spread for me. Table spread for all of us. But I'm not sitting at a... Some people have said, you know, you folks are so separated that you believe there's going to be a separate room just for you and nobody else. I'm not talking about there's a table set just for me. But I'm concerned about the table that is set before me. I'm not looking to the left or to the right. There'll be people. But the table is set before me. He could never have done that for me. He could never have done that for you had he never gone to the cross. Had he never shed his blood. Had he never died. Had he never been buried, and had he never raised from the dead. None of this would count. And this is where I... You know, I kind of, maybe I jumped the gun, but I look in and I'm thinking with these people that say, well, I never believed, and I can't make it through life because of all this emotional stuff that's happening. And I understand that, but Christ did go to the cross. And he did die, and he was buried, and he did raise from the dead. And all of that, everything that precedes that then is valid. If I would let him do these things and be those things to me. And you know what my host does? He gives me two of his greatest servants to go with me continually. Or maybe even wait on me. Their names are Goodness and Mercy. Everywhere I go, Goodness and Mercy go with me. And you know what? Then I come to the realization that I am finally at home. You remember the illustration? It comes from a believer by the name of George Morrison. I forgot what he was, but he was overseas. And he came home, and it was during the wartime. And the ship landed in docked in New York City. And all the people were yelling and screaming people's names and so forth. And there was nobody for him. And he walked down the gangplank, and he said, I came to the realization, I'm not home yet. It won't be like that in heaven. You'll know you're home. And it'll make all the planning, all the roots that we think that are so important, that they're more important than our spiritual well-being and our spiritual testimony, we'll find out they were drivel. Because I'm home. The three divisions, provision, direction, and communion unfold this way. The sheep are his possession. The travelers are making progress. And the guests are those who finally have arrived at home. Meditate on that. The sheep are his possession. He provides for them. The travelers are making progress. Are you making progress? Are you getting closer to the Lord? Are you learning things? Are you still learning things? Are there things that draw you to Him that never drew you before, and you're still moving in a certain direction? Maybe slow, maybe fast. And the guests are those who have arrived at home. I'm not one of the guests that have arrived at home yet. Neither are you. Which means we're travelers. Which means we should be making progress because the Lord possesses us. He's our shepherd. He's taking us to the very places that we need to be and to go. And we need to trust Him. You know, I believe that every sheep of the flock has a story of love to tell. You have one. It's not completed yet, but I'm sure you do. I do. A story of love to tell about their shepherd. Every traveler tells of the strength and comfort of his patient grace. What would we do without his grace? Every guest in this heavenly home will sing forevermore the praise and prayer of his beloved host, because they're all one. So we come to a place, it's very unusual. There's like five directions I wanted to go all at the same time, and I can't do that. But we're dealing about a sweet spirit. And if this psalm cannot give you a sweet spirit, I doubt anything can. I doubt anyone could convince you in any other way apart from here if this doesn't work. Look at what we have in Christ. Undeservedly so. Look at what He does for us. Look at what is available to us, and then step aside and look at the picture of where we are, our lives. And how do we pay Him back? How do we react to that? If there's anything that's missing, that's amiss in our Christian lives, it's consistency. Doesn't mean we don't know the truth. Doesn't mean we don't understand the truth. It just means we just step to the side. And we'll put something or someone first, or second, or third, or fourth. And then when we get in trouble, we'll go to this, maybe. But everything I've ever seen, most of the time, the only time this psalm is ever even brought up is in funerals. And how can anybody speak for somebody else about the Lord being their shepherd? I can speak for me. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's why I said, you make it personal. And if he's your shepherd, you say that, and you believe that, and you live that. I shall not want. And then just keep going through. And the end result is exactly the same, but the Lord will take you through these. Does anybody know any instance, do you have anything in recorded history, where a shadow hurt anybody? When you walk outside in the daytime, and it's not noon, well, let's see. Noon. It used to be noon. Now it's 1 o'clock. Because we set our clocks ahead. Remember? Okay, so, and you look and you see a shadow. And you're afraid of the shadow? What can the shadow do to you? Nothing. And here we see, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Can't hurt you. And for the Christian, what is death? Death is graduation. Death is not the end, it's the beginning. And so in all of these things, unless you're foreign to sorrow and anguish and pain and stress and all these other things, you see why I have more than a Savior. I have a shepherd that leads me and guides me like no one has ever done. That guy, I think his name was Weigel, that said, there's never been a friend like Jesus. And that's true. Never. Doesn't mean we can't be friends and do things, but I'm saying I'm talking about who he is in terms of what he wants for us. And we need to hold on to that. This is after the cross. This is his ministry today. And I think through the Holy Spirit as well. This is so important. The Holy Spirit is doing the work of Christ, and he's not naming himself, but he's leading us and he's guiding us. And what are we doing to be led and to be guided? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great song. We thank you for its value to countless numbers of believers through the ages. I personally believe you wrote it for me. I hope everybody else feels that way as well. Not for me, but for themselves. You wrote that for them. Did David understand that all these centuries later, people would be blessed and comforted? I don't know. I doubt it. But we are, we can be, we should be. It doesn't negate what we have to go through. It just means when we go through it, we have someone far better to deal with every issue. Because we value him above ourselves. And we show it. It may not be seen to other people, but we already know it. We trust you. We love you. Hopefully, therefore, we obey you. And I pray that you would comfort our hearts as the various things that go on in all of our lives, whether it be young or whether it be old. I think of Vic, and I think of Bruce, Becky watching Vic and Rosa and the radiation, just the number of different things as we go person by person in our church and our families. Father, here you are, the answer, the remedy. That even in the weakness of those moments, our strength is found. So I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that we would leave here fully persuaded, not just of our salvation, but of our shepherd, the one who died for us and was raised for us, that saved us when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We're grateful for everything that he's done, everything that he is, everything that he's going to do. We pray, Father, you give us safety as we go to our places, a good night's rest, strength for tomorrow, the rest of the week, and that you bring us safely back again on Sunday, if not before. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area he is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust him as your personal Savior, he will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.